Welcome to Design 30. My name is Jason Bilyeu, and in this podcast, I provide design strategies and tools to improve creativity, innovation, and overall design confidence. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the very first video podcast of the Design 30 podcast. So this is my very first time doing this with a video as well. It's been a long time since I have made a podcast. And if you hadn't noticed, I've been making a lot of tutorials, a lot of Fusion 360 tutorials. So I hope that you have seen those and you've seen me pushing those on all the social medias. You can find all of them on the Design 30 YouTube page. At Learn Design 30. You can also find all of them. I've been posting them on X as well, and that's at JBilyeu Design 30, or just Jason Bilyeu on X.com, formerly known as Twitter. But yeah, the podcast is back. I have some cool ideas, a lot of interesting things I want to talk about, and I'm really excited to start bringing back some episodes. Like I said, this is my very first video podcast, and I brought some props that I'm going to be using. So if you are listening to the audio version of this, you might want to go to YouTube, make sure you become a subscriber, and watch this episode, because there's going to be at least a few visuals, quite a few visuals actually, that I think will really help illustrate the point that I'm wanting to make. And so let's just get into this topic. What I want to talk about is this idea that simple is rarely easy. And this is actually my Design 30 principle number 2. And I recently posted this on one of my shorts. I've been doing a lot of shorts on YouTube. Maybe that's something you have seen. Maybe that is what is bringing you into this first video podcast right now. I don't know. But I've been doing some of those shorts, and one of them I did on the simple is rarely easy. And I got a few questions, a little bit of maybe pushback of why I put that into such a short little, well, it's called YouTube short, so it has to be kind of short. But why did I put it in such a short way and not really explain it? And I mean, that's one of the things I like about those shorts, is just bring up these ideas, these topics that you, if you stumble across it, it just makes you think a little bit. Maybe you disagree strongly with what I'm saying. If so, I want to hear why in the comments, or maybe you totally agree. And I'd rather hear that in the comments. That makes me feel good, but I'm okay with the negative comments as well. You can also post those. Make sure that you actually give me good feedback though. That's more of what I would prefer, something I can actually improve upon and take in and think about. But I'm getting a little off topic here. Going back to the simple is rarely easy. I just want to give a few examples, real life examples of what I mean, what I'm referring to when I say that in design and product design, and really in a lot of different parts of life, simple rarely is actually easy to accomplish. So here's where the props begin. The first one is this stainless steel bowl. Okay, you can see that if you are watching the video version. If you're listening to audio, I'll try to describe it. It's simply a stainless steel mixing bowl. This one, it's about medium size. I don't actually know the real size of it. But you can see it has a different finish on the inside than from the outside. But overall, it's pretty simple. It's just a metal bowl. Almost looks like a dog bowl. It's not a dog bowl, it's a mixing bowl. But this is something that looks fairly simple, right? But as soon as you start thinking through, okay, how is this thing actually manufactured? How is it made? How is something so simple brought to life? What is the process that someone or some company has to go through to do this? And so you start thinking, okay, well, it's probably made out of originally a piece of sheet metal, something like that. And then they probably pressed it and formed it into this. And likely they used a method that I will show you another image of. Let me try again. First video podcast. Let's see how this goes. Boom. There we go. Okay. Here is an image again for those listening. This image shows essentially this big round center punch. Again, it's going to be so much easier if you just come to YouTube and watch this and see what I'm talking about. But there's this big center punch. There's a holder that holds this piece of sheet metal, or they also call it just the blank. And then there's a die below it. And this die is essentially cut to be the shape of what you want the bowl to be after you smash it, after you form it. And so you can see in this image I pulled up, they hold the blank with this blank holder, this other big piece of metal, holds it down with a lot of force so it's not going to move when you drive this punch into it, when you drive the punch into the blank. And you can see on the right side here, you apply a lot of force and it kind of draws out the shape of this bowl. Sometimes it's called a long draw. There's just a few different names for it. But essentially, this requires some pretty massive pieces of machinery. You can look up some videos on YouTube of how this is actually done. And these things are often just these huge pieces of steel that are being used to form this other piece of stainless steel. And so that's not that simple. It takes a lot of space. It takes a factory, essentially, at least a manufacturing floor, manufacturing plant. You're talking thousands of dollars in just this materials to build this die, to build your blank holder, to build your punch, and all of these things to make sure that you're actually forming this blank into the shape of this bowl that you want. So even though the final product is pretty simple, the process of manufacturing it is really not all that simple at all. It's pretty difficult and expensive to get this all set up. And that's just the start. Once you get it made, now you got to ship this thing. You got to package it. You also need to think about things such as the finish that I mentioned, this nice shiny finish on the inside and kind of this dull finish on the outside. You got to think about how you're getting that. Are you polishing it, post-forming it? Are you making sure you have the right finishes on your blank before you form it? Is it going to get dinged up and damaged by your punch? There's all these different ideas. And then you also have to, most people want to have this nice curled edge here, which again, you can see in the video. And so you have to do some sort of curling process to make that edge. So again, you see this bowl at the store and think, oh, that's just a very simple steel, stainless steel bowl. But there's so much more that goes into it. When you, after you've manufactured it, you've packaged it, you have to ship it. You want to make sure it doesn't get damaged in shipping. You want to make sure it doesn't get scratched up. All of these different things that go into what could be considered something very simple. But very simple is not easy. So that's one example, one way that you can think about this design concept of simple is rarely easy. There's one other example I want to show you here while I have this, while I have the internet pulled up. Let's click over to here. And this is one of the very first, if not the very first cell phone. It's called the Motorola DynaTAC 8000X. You might recognize this. I did not recognize this. I don't think I've ever seen one of these in real life, but they're actually kind of cool now. It's kind of a retro look. But okay, so we have this, and again, if you're listening to the audio version, you have this very old-looking cell phone, kind of a brick, massive antenna, and I think, let's see, if we go to Wikipedia, they say here, this thing took about 10 hours to charge, and you only got 30 minutes of talk time, so all of this size and you barely and all this time to charge and you barely have any time to talk. We can scroll down to portability and let's see how big this thing actually. Okay, it's 10 inches long and weighed 2.5 pounds. Now, 2.5 pounds, I mean, that's not crazy heavy, but you compare that to our cell phones today, that's pretty wild. Okay, so, and I'm not saying that this design was simple, but I want to use this as an example of how if you're a product designer, you might be given what sounds like a simple idea, but the implementation of it is actually really, really difficult. So let's say this is where cell phones are at, and you have your boss come in and say, okay, cell phones are cool. They're catching on. I want you to design one that fits in your pocket and you can talk to someone for hours at a time. Pretty simple. It's like, oh, I just want a phone you can call people on. Want to be able to put it in your pocket and have long conversations. That product sounds really simple. The idea is really simple, right? It doesn't take that long for someone to grasp what you're asking for. And what they're asking for is essentially this, the very first iPhone. And look how simple this idea actually came out to be. But as the designer, someone asking you for the iPhone before the iPhone was not simple at all. I mean, this thing's, I don't know for sure, but it's probably smaller than just the battery of this original Motorola. So you got, I mean, that's the first thing I'm sure, maybe not the first thing, one of the first thing that popped in these designers' heads. Okay, like we got to fit the battery inside something this small, you can just slide into your pocket, let alone all of the other electronics. And then once the iPhone came around and those designers were working on that, now you also have to fit this entire touchscreen on there. Are you going to use buttons? Are you not going to use physical buttons? Steve Jobs was pretty adamant about not using physical buttons. So all of a sudden you have all of these very difficult, technical, complex concepts that you have to figure out how to integrate into this one device. But someone could say, oh, well, it's simple. It's just a phone in your pocket, right? Not a big deal. But the actual implementation, the design, the technology makes this one of the probably one of the most difficult projects that the engineers and designers ever worked on was to build this iPhone, right? So again, this is a great example of this idea of simple is very, very rarely actually easy. And even when the design at the end of the day looks very simple, like, oh, it's just a little device, touchscreen, put it in your pocket, you can call people, you can also surf the internet, do all sorts of things on it, put all your songs on it. Not easy at all. Although the idea could be very, very simple. Okay, I have another prop I want to show you here. And this is a bit of a throwback, bit of a retro device here. And this is, I don't know what gen, what is this, like a third or fourth gen iPod Shuffle. So if you're someone listening, go just Google that real quick. Let's see if it says the generation on here. I don't think it does, but it's essentially one of these iPod Shuffles that has a little clip on it that you can kind of see there, and you could clip it onto your pants, and it essentially had just a few buttons. You could turn up the volume and you could skip to the next song, right? So very simple design, right? Very simple idea. It could hold 2 gigabytes of songs on there. It's just a little square piece of aluminum, probably just anodized aluminum. Pretty simple, right? Well, let's kind of look at the history of this, right? Where did the music come from, and how did people get music in their homes, in their house? How were they able to play it? Well, let's see here. Okay, let me flip back over to this website, the good old internet over here. You have this old school record player, right? This could hold about 5 songs per side of the record. So that's about 10 songs total. You get something like this with 2 gigabytes, small, simple. This thing can hold 500 songs. Very simple device. It's just, it's orders and orders of magnitude more complex than this record player, which at its time was very, very complex, very impressive. I mean, it's an awesome piece of engineering, an awesome piece of innovation. And you could see how an iPod, especially an iPod Shuffle, is just taking this like, okay, well, we have music, you can play it, you can hear it. What if we took that and we wanted just to fit it in your pocket. And I know there's a lot of other stuff in between record players, especially these early record players and iPods. Don't get me wrong. I used to have a Walkman. So I'm not quite young enough to have missed that. I just barely caught it. I had one or two of those, a couple Discmans. So I understand all the things in between. But let's just for the sake of thinking through this concept, someone comes up to you and just says, I want to be able to put, you know, all those songs, but instead of 10, let's multiply that by about 50. Let's try to do like 500 songs and just put it in something small that you can run with, you can walk with, and it doesn't have to be anything complicated. You just need to be able to skip to the next song. Oh, okay, that's a simple idea. It's a simple product concept. It doesn't take a genius to understand what you're asking for. But the implementation of that, the design of this little device is, I mean, I don't even know all of this technology that went into this device. I don't even know all the technology that goes into developing 2 gigabytes of memory, right? In that size of form factor, it's just the complexity it's crazy. And this leads to another concept that I've talked about a little bit in the past. Maybe I'll just touch on it briefly here. And that's this idea of there's a certain amount of complexity to design. Any design has some sort of kind of an inherent amount of complexity. And you as the designer, you basically have two options. And I compare this to the conservation of energy. I call it the conservation of complexity. And so there's a certain amount of complexity. You as a designer gets to choose in some ways where that complexity goes. You can take on that complexity as the designer yourself, and you can design something that is very, takes a long time to design. You put a lot of time and energy and effort into it. Maybe it takes new technology and new manufacturing techniques, and you eventually get to this product, i.e. this iPod Shuffle, which is a great example of this. That's incredibly simple. To the user, it's just this little rectangle, little square. You plug in your headphones, press play, hit next. That's really all you have to do. Incredibly simple product. There's not much complexity to it. Probably a 2-year-old could figure out how to use it, but the designer had to take on so much complexity. There's so much hard work, so much difficult work that went into developing this product. And so the complexity it's not lost. You don't lose the complexity by getting to this. You've just shifted that complexity onto the designers, onto the manufacturing team, onto the procurement team, all these other people who are involved in developing this product and delivering it to the customer. And then there's some other products you could probably think of where there's not a lot of effort put into the design side, and it ends up being a more complicated product for the user to use. Maybe it's not user-friendly, and so that just takes more time to figure out how to actually use it. Maybe it's not very robust or reliable, so the user has to frequently go get it fixed, and they have to repair things. They have to repair things themselves. And so in that case, you would have shifted this complexity to the user rather than shifting that to the designer. So that's an idea that probably will require a whole nother podcast itself, but it's a pretty interesting way to look at products, a pretty interesting way to look at product design. So that's all I have for this very first video podcast. Let me know what you thought of it. Let me know if you have any feedback for me, if there's anything that I can do better. I'd love to hear that in the comments. As always, you can find Design 30 all over the place, really, right? You can find the podcast anywhere that podcasts are offered. Spotify and Apple Podcasts, obviously the top ones for that. And please, please, if you have time, I'd really appreciate it if you could rate the podcast and then also review the podcast. I think you can do reviews on Apple Podcasts and then on Spotify, only the ratings. You can also find Design 30, obviously, if you're watching this on YouTube. And then you can also find me on X. It's probably where I'm most active. Also on Instagram, if you want to find me there. Also, if you want to reach out directly, you can send me an email. My email is learndesign30 design30principles@gmail.com. So that's it for this. Remember, design 30 principle number 2, simple is rarely easy. As always, design more, spare less. Thanks for watching.